Well, good morning. It is still morning. You are still here. Is this true? Is this a dream? If you don't mind, just as we get started, and as you are where you are, I want to take a picture of you. You know, this is a moment. So, and we can't do it again next week for the first time. You know what I mean? There's only a first time. So you can give a wave if you're there. I'm going to step back a little. I want to be able to capture you. You can give a wave for history. This is a historic building. We have a historic moment returning to the building after so long. We're glad that you're here, that you've been able to make it, to join us. And if you're watching at home, we are glad that you are with us at home. Welcome to all. You could please move forward. There are some spaces available. Join us. Thank you for joining us online for so long and for allowing the life of this community to continue, even while we were on Zoom. It seems a bit surreal that we're here. You have no idea how many times I came into this building in the last 15 months. And I stood in this very place and I looked around and I thought of you all. Of course, the lights were off, the AC was off, the heat was off. I'm just thinking of when will that be? And so here we are. And I want to thank the leadership and, of course, the members, everyone that's been doing what they can for us to be able to be together. It's good to see you. And you heard Marlene make some announcements earlier. I want to reiterate this so that when Wednesday comes and you try to join the book club and you find out that nobody is there and the link isn't working, it's because we just concluded the Gospel According to Mark. And so we're going to put that on pause with the summer holidays, give everyone a chance to have their vacation break, give the pastor a chance to have a little time to study and figure out where we're going to go next. So we'll come back in the fall. So please keep that in mind. We will resume after the summer break. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would love to hear some pages turn. You know, it's the kind of thing I couldn't hear online. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 John. And we're going to read from 1 John. We'll read from chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. And if you have your digital version, that's okay as well. So it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. And so, Lord Jesus, after so long, we're gathered here this morning to worship you as a community. We thank you and we give you the honor for bringing us back, for your protection, your safety. And Lord, as we get into the word this morning, we want to ask that your Holy Spirit will descend upon us and that he will bring the healing and the forgiveness and the peace and the joy. And so, Lord, speak to us, I pray. Touch my heart and my lips. May you be seen and not me. Asking it all in the name of the Son and for his sake. Amen. So if you've been following for the last, I think, maybe 5 weeks now, we took a couple of weeks break during Urban Camp Meeting and then during English Camp Meeting. We have been, prior to that, for 3 weeks, we have been in a series that is entitled The Message, The Messenger, and The Kingdom. And so we're going to do a recap. And we're going to do a recap because, well, this is all working in building blocks, right? We're trying to figure out, well, first of all, what is the message? And we unpacked in this recap that the message is actually Jesus. He is the one that we preach. And we also saw that, so here are some quotes. I'm not going to read them because, again, this is a recap. You're welcome to take a screenshot, take a picture. We find in the 28 fundamental beliefs, it says, hey, Jesus is the center of our beliefs. We find Adventist authors that tell us Jesus was the center of the Old Testament and the center of the New Testament. We find, additionally, in the preface to The Desire of Ages, that it tells us that He is the desire and hope of all ages. Now, we're looking at the fundamental beliefs. We're looking to the testimony. We're looking at authors. This is what the Bible says. It says in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 32, that the disciples, they were at the temple. And when they were in the temple, well, they were preaching. What were they preaching? Well, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's the kind of thing that you go, wait a minute, there's something important about Jesus. Now, it's okay if that hasn't occurred to us yet. It's not foreign. It happened to me. See, I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist, and then I left in my mid-teens. I ended up coming back. I was 31 years of age. And I received the gospel. I believed the gospel. In fact, I was baptized. And about 8 months after I had been baptized, as I'm studying the Word, I came to the realization, as I'm studying through Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul just can't shut up about Jesus. As I'm studying this, I think in the first, this is off the top of my head, in the first 16, 17 verses of Ephesians 1, he mentions Jesus like 18, 19, 20 times. Don't quote me on that. You could go home and count it. You'll see. Implicitly and sometimes, explicitly and sometimes implicitly. So it's Jesus. He's pretty important. And so we're going back and we're looking through these various documents and writers and the scriptures so that we can be secure in the fact that our message is Christ. And it says in John 3:16, we'll come back to this a little bit later. He says, you know the verse, right? You remember the verse? Can you say it to me? That you started strong. It's okay. You started strong. And I think that maybe you reconsidered. It's like, did he really do this to us? You know the verse. God, his love for us is so deep that he has given himself in his Son, right? The Father and the Son are one. So that he can restore, wait a minute, the cosmos, right? First it says the world, right? And whoever believes in me, not perish, but have eternal life and restore us. That's the love of God. That's the good news. That's our message. That's what we are armed with. Peter, we read in Mark as we were studying through, Peter was armed with a sword. He said, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. I'll die with you. When they came to arrest Jesus, you know what he did, right? He cut Malchus's ear. He said, no. That's not my kingdom. That's not the message. That's not the posture. My message is Christ. And to learn from him. And to study him. And to allow his meekness to become mine. By beholding, we have read we become transformed. This is the recap, but it's a good recap in the sense that these are all essential things, right? So don't think, wow, he's going to go for a long time and then we're going to start the sermon. This is all the sermon. We're building blocks. So Jesus is the good news. We cannot forget that. We cannot confuse that. We cannot ignore it. Neither can we relinquish it. And it's impossible to replace him and still be his follower. So that was the message. Then we come to the messenger. What about the messenger? Well, who is the messenger? These are the things that Jesus says just before he ascends. He begins to tell the disciples, these are the things that need to happen. He says, all authority has been given to me, right? In heaven and in earth. And then he says, you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. You who are following me. The Father is giving me the authority. And you're going to receive power from above. And he says, you're going to receive this power, and it's coming in the form of the Holy Spirit. He's going to dwell in you. And then he says, you're going to go up into all the world, and you're going to do what? It's in red. You're going to preach the gospel. Oh, now, you remember a few weeks ago we had a picture of a funnel? And the first time I put it up, I forgot to explain it if you weren't here. Then the second week I went back, I was like, oh, I think I have to explain. Now he starts to focus what it is. Jesus is the message. Well, what about Jesus? Well, the gospel. What is the gospel? What's the good news? We'll get back to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Not just of some nations, but of all nations. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And then he says, and you shall be witnesses to me. And he begins to tell him, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's the messenger, right? Oh, here's the funnel. I forgot about the funnel. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit more about the funnel. What happens sometimes is that our message can be out of focus. You know this projector? It has a little lever over here. If I touch it, I won't. If I touch it, it could make the images that you scream, that you see on the screen, out of focus. You know what I'm talking about? Right? So you have to go on there and you have to be very careful as you get to the point where it's going to have the best quality and clarity. Right? Our message has to be focused because it can be out of focus. We can be in the church and lack the focus. But since we are in the church, right, we need to have the focus. And he's going to give us that focus. And as we get to the bottom of that focus, we see that we can present him as a figure in history. Did he exist? Yeah, that's right, he did exist. We can present him, not only as he existed in history, we can present him as he appears in Scripture. Is that true? Yeah, that's true too. We can present him in the unique Adventist perspectives. That's also true. But we have to always tell the story of our journey with Jesus. So out of these four points, there's two that are essential. We're not disregarding the others. We're saying these, as we focus, have to be prioritized. One of them is we present the Jesus of Scripture, right? Not the Jesus of the encyclopedia. The Jesus of Scripture. We tell our story with Jesus. This is what he did for me. And this is the importance of that testimony, is that Revelation 12, verse 11 says, and they, meaning us, overcame him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, and the word of their testimony. So we're honing in, we're focusing, building blocks. I know, it's a recap, but it's important. It is important. Right? So, that a couple of weeks ago, we had a look at Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, to figure out how can we put together our testimony. Well, we looked at his testimony, and we said, well, look, these are the points that are occurring in everyone's life. We'll leave it at that. If you want to know a little more, you can go back to the site, to our website, ManhattanSDAChurch.org, and you can find the links to the messages. And you can also look in Luke 15 and be able to begin to trace it. So Jesus says, right, as we're figuring out, we know the messenger, we know the message, we know the messenger, we're the messengers, this is our message, we have a story, we have a testimony with Jesus. But Jesus kind of throws this point as he's at a house of a Pharisee that is really interesting, because this woman comes and she anoints him, right? And the owner of the house and some of the disciples that are there, they begin to scorn her and to be critical and to put her down. And Jesus says, no, leave her alone. She's anointed me for my death. And as that whole story develops, Jesus says one thing that is really important, that is often overlooked. He says, wherever the gospel is told, the good news, for God so loved the world, remember? Wherever that story is told, the gospel, the story of this woman has to be included. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. So, I had time. I had a little bit of time. I put this chart together. I'm going to go really fast. You see, you have the gospel, and then the good news, John 3:16. And then from there, we preach what the Father's love, the death of His Son, to rescue us from sin, right? And we witness as we're telling people what He's done for us. And that's the process of disciple making, of leading other people to Jesus. The God of heaven gave Himself and His Son. He's done it for me. He wants to do it for you. Will you receive Him? And there's this story in Scripture of this woman. Okay, I'm moving on. The word disregard. Are you familiar with the word disregard? Kind of like, you know, not pay attention, not really. Well, let me see what it says. It says, yeah, not to pay attention, to ignore an action or state of paying no attention to something. I have discovered, at least I have heard, that when our emphasis is on this confusing thing, but I know you follow everything that you got there. When our emphasis is on God's love and God's message, and God giving of Himself and His Son, some of us think that we disregard other aspects of Scripture that are also important. Have you heard that? No, they only talk about love over there. You know, they don't preach the things that I like to hear. Have you heard that? I've heard it. Not only have I heard it, I've had people say it to me as a pastor. No, I'm going across the street over there on the, because, you know, they're preaching the things that I want to hear. I promise you, this all comes together. It all works together. It leads to the same place. But for the sake of not being considered someone who disregards the fullness of the message, let me lead you to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, if you have your Bibles or your devices, you do. I heard them earlier. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. And we actually looked at this some time ago, but we're going to look at it again. Daniel chapter 2. Because it may appear to some that they're always talking about Jesus, and that we're always talking about God's love and His plan for our life, but we're disregarding other aspects of Scripture. Is that true? Well, let's see what the Bible says. You know Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And there's not any of his wise men that can reveal not only what the dream was, but what it meant. And so they're taken away to be slaughtered. And in the process, Daniel hears of what is happening. And he says, what's going on? And they tell him. He said, well, give us a moment. And he goes with his three friends and they pray. And they pray to the Lord. And the Lord reveals to Daniel the dream and its interpretation. So we're going to go to verse 27 of chapter of chapter 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king. They've brought him before the king. It says, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men and astrologers, the magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there's a God in heaven who reveals the secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And then he begins to unfold before the king the dream that the king has had. And he says, you saw. And then, and another, and yet again. But there was. We're going to read it in a moment. But first I want to tell you about this timer that I found yesterday. In fact, I think my wife found it, and I thought it was cute. You've seen these before. It has a little hourglass in it. It's 3 minutes. I think it's from my sister-in-law, Allison. There was a time that for Christmas, she would always get us these eggs, these different kinds with different uses, spatula, whatnot. And she got us this. And it's all of it is about 3 minutes. I told you. I said to Lee yesterday when we were having dinner, I was like, let's put the timer. Let's figure out. So the thing with it is, of course, when all of the sand is at the bottom, then you flip it, and then you know how much time, 3 minutes, how much time you have. The dream that Daniel has had doesn't really lead anybody to salvation. It can lead people to church, but it won't save them. Because what the dream does... Oh, by the way, if you can't see, if you're at home and you can't see, I have a picture. It's the same one, the original. That's the counter. The statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel interprets serves the same purpose. It tells us the time. The Lord in His mercy is saying, this is how history will unfold. I am letting you know so that you can come to me and be saved. I am not telling you so that you can be scared into church. What good is it for us to be members of a church, any church, and not have the security that we have been forgiven, that we have been received, that there is a hope for us, that our hero is interceding for us? What good is it to know the timeline but not know Jesus when we've already gone step by step, not just today, but in weeks past, seeing that the priority of the Christian is to know the message, and that message is Jesus. And that then we become messengers. Otherwise, think about it. We could go around telling people that the end is near, but not lead them to Christ. What a pity that would be. That with such a great privilege, that with such a great message, that in such an important time as we live, we'd be wasting our time talking about events that offer us important, but offer us no security, instead of the one that gives life. So we don't devalue the importance of prophecy. We don't devalue the importance of the book of Daniel. It's there for a great reason. It allows us to see where we are in the historical continuum so that we can come to Jesus, so that we can lead others to Jesus, so that we can be saved, that we can have hope and security that that glorious day is coming, and it's coming for us. He's coming for us. Those are the points. Those are the kingdoms. Now you see at the very last, That's verse 44 of the book of Daniel. Verse 44, book of Daniel, chapter 2 in Daniel. And in the days of these kings, because you see, oftentimes that stone is the one that we forget about, that text that I'm about to read. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. In the days of what kings? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're coming back to that. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut without hand, it was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron and the bronze and the clay and the silver and the gold. That stone is my hero. That stone, we prayed to him a moment ago. We sang to him. We are here because of that stone. We are here not only to worship him, but to be strengthened in what his word says, so that we can go out and witness to the world and tell them our story of what he has done for us. We can't talk about the time and simply say there's going to be a stone. No. That stone is my Jesus. And he's coming. Would you receive the life that he has to offer and be saved? Because there's something better than a season in this world. That the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. Well, actually, I had it on the screen. There it is. Now, we're going to put that on pause before we come back to it, okay? As we wrap it up. This is what the book of Hebrews says. Because we can see, right? We can see that he's talking about something that's going to happen in the future. Because we've read the book and we've done the calculations, we know that he's talking about the time of the end. About the last days. Well, the author of Hebrews picks that theme up. And he says, you've heard this. I know I've read it here. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days. Now remember those things that Nebuchadnezzar saw in that dream? That we can see each kingdom pointing us to the end? God is saying to the author of Hebrews, in these last days, God is speaking to us in his Son. The message for the last days. Daniel's counterpart in Revelation picks up that theme. And so now I want us to move from the book of Daniel to the book of Revelation to chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. We are talking about the message. We are talking about the messenger. And we are now talking about the kingdom of God that will be established. So the beginning of the chapter sees us reading about the Lamb and the 144,000. And as that concludes, it says that there's another angel, and this angel has a message. So we'll read from verse 6 to 12, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to exegete it, okay? 6 to 12, it says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his name, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, we've heard that. We've read that. That's one of the pillars upon which the Adventist movement stands. I was in a class with a professor. In fact, it was his last class before he retired. And as we got to this very chapter, he is reminiscing of what those first Adventists must have thought of when they read this. And he said, "Does anybody have a King James Bible?" And I remember saying, "Well, I have a new King James." He said, "No, I want a King James. I want to read it in the same language that they read it. And think about what those people were saying as they considered the time of the end. And in these last days, as we see in the markings that God has given us in the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, as we can see historically where we are, that message is just as relevant. The people need to hear it, that there's a God that is coming. Now, we need to give the message not only focused, but in context. We need to be able to lead people to the one. This is a summary, right? We have three angels. The first angel, everlasting good news to proclaim, and he says, worship God. We're going to come back. This is just a summary, because we're not going to spend any time in the second or the third angel. The second angel says, Babylon has fallen. The third angel says, worshiping the beast leads us to death. Right? I know that I have shared these slides with you before. I remember some of you were here. I'm going to ask you the same question. Okay, you ready for this? Three angels, three messages. Is the first message. You don't have to answer. It's rhetorical, okay? Let's do it that way. First message, is it negative or is it positive? I heard positive. Good. I'm with you. The second and the third, is it negative or is it positive? I can't make that out. That's kind of why I said maybe we'll do it rhetorical, but it's okay. I like the energy and the enthusiasm. Here's the deal. The first angel is leading us to life. Right? The second and the third are delineating what is happening, but doesn't offer the solution. So it cannot be positive. It's saying this is what the problem is, and this is why that happens. But it doesn't give us the option of being rescued from that, because the first message is the one that carries that hope. It's the one that carries literally the good news. Now, church, I'm about to get real with you, okay? Our challenge is that we sometimes are just preaching the timeline, and we emphasize the second and the third without the hope of the first. There's a little book called Early Writings. Early Writings, amongst the things that it says, well, there's a chapter entitled The Messengers. There's a chapter on the first and the second and on the third angel's message. The chapter called Messengers says something to the effect of, many of us are eager to preach the second or the third angel's message. But we're not ready to do that. I already told you where that's found. You can look it up. We are eager to take it, but the truth of the first has not taken hold of our heart. So let's go back to what the first says. Then I saw, it says, another angel flying in the midst of heaven. There have been several, and this is why John is saying, well, look, I saw something else. And these are flying concurrently, right? It says, then I saw another angel that was flying in the midst of heaven, and this one, well, he has something. What does he bring with him? He has the gospel. Guys, remember a little while ago, we said John 3:16, for God so, that's right, good enough. I know you know it, you already said it. That's the good news that Jesus came to save. This angel is armed with the good news of Jesus. So that's part one. Part two, what does it say? Let me get my book. Part two says, he has the gospel, and this gospel is going to be proclaimed to those who are in the earth, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, for everyone to hear. Now, this is the second part of the message of the angel. He says, fear God and give him glory. Sometimes we think that that's the gospel, but it's not. He's armed with the gospel, and then he's giving another message, verbal. Are you with me? These are two distinct things. Because the gospel doesn't say, fear God. The gospel is leading us to the cross. Now, he is explaining with the urgency of the last days, understanding where we are in the historic continuum, that we need to draw to God. Right? And how do we draw them to God? Well, by taking them to our message, as his messengers, taking them to Jesus. Are we still together? I sure hope so. Because we cannot think that our message is to go out there and to tell people to fear God and take that out of context. And I know these are building blocks. All of this works together. We have to understand the message. We have to be impacted so that we can be messengers. Not just talking about time periods and the conclusion of the earth, but rather giving people hope. Because the kingdom of God, well, it's at hand. So he says, having the everlasting gospel, having the good news, and remember this? The whole purpose of this was to unpack it, to connect it, so that when we get to this point in the text, we will not forget that not only we've studied it, but that we reached a consensus and agreement and saying, yeah, that's what the good news is. Having the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue, saying with a loud voice. The good news, it lasts forever. They're announced. They are for all people. And the word that he says, that the angel will now, when we move to the second part of the message, it says that he has, ready for this? The angel has a megalophone. That's the Greek word. Know these, right? Because he's proclaiming it with a loud voice. And he says, well, for all to hear God. Well, what does he mean by fear God? I'm glad you asked. The word is phobeo. And it doesn't mean be scared of him. Yes, we should be aware that we are dust created by him. and that He is the Creator. But we also should be aware that He has adopted us into His family through His Son. And if we have that security, it's not fear in the sense of being scared of Him. It's awe in that we respect Him, that we show reverence, that we venerate Him. That's the context. When the Lord comes, there are going to be people that will be scared of Him. But when the Lord comes, there are going to be people that have been honoring Him, that will be glad that He returned. The question is, where will you stand? Are you scared of Him? Or is He your dad? And we have the security that our brother Jesus has paid the price and we've accepted the life that He offers. To treat reverential obedience, to hold in awe, He says, fear God, respect Him, revere Him, and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. All of those things that we've been talking about in Daniel, the time is fulfilled. It's here. Give your life to Him. Receive what the gospel offers and be saved. The hour of His judgment has come. And worship, wait a minute, that's a key word. That's what we came here to do. That's what we're gathering. That's what we're doing. We're coming to give Him the honor. And I'm glad you're back. I got to tell you, I'm really happy that you're here. It's been a while. And I hope that the air conditioning is cooling sufficiently. I hope that the lights are bright and that the piano sounded good. I hope that you're enjoying your time here. But I have to also tell you that while we look to make it pleasant and comfortable, none of this is for us. This is all for Him. This is where the believers that fear Him, that have been impacted by the gospel, are coming to collectively say, "You are our God. And we await for You." Worship Him. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. Because He's made, He's going into creatorship. Because He who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of living water. And so this is a summary of the second part of the first angel. Equipping us. Revere Him. Give Him praise and give Him honor. It's the act. It's not the sentence, right? The act of worship, not the sentence of worship. And pay homage to Him. And why would we do all of this? Well, because He has created us. Because He made us. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of living water. Remember a little while ago we said we're going to come back to this? And we're talking about the gospel, talking about the image, the stone. The stone of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He's coming back. So we don't disregard what Daniel 2 has to say. We don't disregard what any of the angels have to say. We are aware that all of it is pointing to someone. And we are committed to that someone. Because that someone has touched us. And because we cannot but tell the story of our journey with Him. The message, the messenger, and the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But think about this. Just as you go home, take this with you. Sometimes we're more comfortable. We're more comfortable preaching hellfire than we are preaching compassion. And it's time that as we recognize where we are in history, that our focus be not just that it's the end, but that we've been touched by Jesus. Because that's what this world needs to hear. You know what John 3:17 says? Right? I know some of you do. I can tell. I know that 3:16 is, you know, we know that one well. I get it. In fact, I'm going to read that. We're going to close with that. Because I think it's super important that we keep verse 17 in mind. He says, verse 16, you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, He's talking to Nicodemus. He says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. It's about time that we stop preaching the wrong fear. Hellfire. The judgment without hope. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now guys, doesn't that just sound better? That I don't have to fear the judgment? That I have hope that I can come to Him and that He receives me? And that there's nothing that I may have done that He will not forgive? I mean, that's good news. That's what this is about. That's what our experience is about. That's why our testimony is so important. There have been full-grown, generational Christians that have never met Jesus. I pray that that won't be the case for us. But that we'll dwell in Him as our message and be willing to be transformed. And our testimony, along with the words of this book, we may be messengers, envoys into the world, to everyone, that they may know that there's hope. That even as Babylon has fallen, and even as the beast has people marked after its likeness, we have hope because we have the Son. That's my prayer for us today and always. Will you choose Jesus and allow Him to transform you, transform us every day? So let's pray together. Father, as we appeal to You. Because you know our need, You know our heart, You know where we stand, You know our desires, and also know the traps around us that are either causing us to fall or have caused us to fall. Father, may we look up and believe that we can stand up and believe that You are awaiting to rescue us, that everything has been prepared, that the feast is ready, and that there's a robe of righteousness for us that only You can provide. And so I pray, Lord, may we take Your hand and stand and believe and trust that it is true, that it is for us. May we receive the forgiveness that You offer and the transformation that comes As a result, I ask, Lord, that you work in our lives, that we may have joy and peace and gladness, and that we may share the beauty of your heart. And so lead us, I ask. Continue to protect us in the midst of the difficulties of these last days, and bring us back, I ask. And we long to be in your presence. Use us in the meantime to fulfill your purpose. We give you all the glory and pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.